This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio. As we start to step into the festive season, where else could we go on iRadio's trade secrets this week than straight to the Helix Panto for 2025, the Snow Queen, Miss Rachel Gawhan, who's going to be playing the lead role of Hannah in this production, joins me this evening to chat all things getting into the world of musical theatre and stage in Ireland. Rachel, thank you so much for hopping onto iRadio's group chat. Obviously, knowing you in your personal life, I've known how fantastic you are, and I'm so genuinely buzzing for you that so many amazing roles seem to be coming your way now. I know you were in Little Shop of Horrors this summer as well in The Bored Gosh, but I've got to know, where did this love for acting and musical theatre begin for you?
Yeah, so it was kind of late for me. So I grew up in Mayo, and in my hometown there wasn't really theatre opportunities. I don't know where it came from for me. But then I went to Galway, and I went to college in Galway, and that's where I met you, of course. And I joined a musical society, and I think I just something switched on in my brain, and I was like, oh, this is it. This is the thing I've always wanted to do, but I didn't know what it was. And so we did like great shows, and I met so many gorgeous people. And then it was around COVID when I thought to myself, I would love to do this professionally. And it's so funny looking back now, like I did not have a huge background in it. Some people like are in a stage school from the age of 3, or they've been dancing for years or whatever. But for me, it was like I just switched on and took a notion, and it's the best decision I've ever made. So then I went up to Dublin, moved to Dublin shortly after COVID lockdown ended, and I started a course in musical theatre in American College Dublin, and had a fantastic time there, really got so much out of that, and ended up, I've been working professionally since I've graduated, which is so like magical to me.
It's magic to watch you. Can I just say, as you know, and as I've said, because we know each other personally, it really did seem when we met you, I think the first production I saw you in was Pippin. And I remember thinking, this girl, there is no way that she is going to stick with the course that you've done. You'd done something in childcare studies, hadn't you? And I was like, no, there's absolutely no way she's going to be on a stage for the rest of her life, which is exactly what happened, to be fair. It's amazing.
You know what's actually nice? Is I got to sort of, so the first degree I did in Galway, I did 4 years of, it was children's studies, sociological and political studies, and psychology or psychological studies. And that has actually helped me in a way, because if I'm not in a gig, I get to teach kids drama and singing in a couple of different stage schools. And I enjoy that so much, because it combines the two things I love, like working with kids and theatre. So it's been really fantastic for my side job to be something I also massively enjoy.
Yeah, it all tied in really well. But I mean, look, obviously we know that you've been slaying, and we'll get to all the amazing gigs that you have booked and the things you've done very soon. But I am really curious. Obviously, the purpose of Trade Secrets is kind of to give a little bit of an insight into how you get into jobs like this. What were the biggest challenges that you faced getting into this type of a job? I imagine it's such a hard grind.
Yeah, because what happens is you go to college. If you do a degree in theatre or musical theatre, you learn so much in that time, and you're so kind of cocooned in this space where you're getting advice all the time, and people are guiding you to where you could find work. And then suddenly you graduate and you are just out in the open, and you do sort of feel like, oh man, where do I look? So for me, I asked an awful lot of questions while I was in college that were more to do with, okay, but where will I find work? Like, where did you find work? And then talking to lecturers about, like, I heard that you did an ad. Like, how did you get an ad? How did you get to do commercial work? And then a lot of it is talking to other performers and asking them, like, where did you hear about that opportunity? A lot of the time, sometimes you will see a casting call pop up on Instagram because someone you know shared it because they know somebody who knows somebody else. And then you might audition for that. And otherwise, like, if you don't have an agent when you graduate, which is the case for most people when they graduate a musical theatre course, or any kind of performing course, you do have to just like keep your eyes open. So there's a lot of, there's websites like Movie Extras and Celtic Casting. You might jump on there and you might do some small gigs as a movie extra or just in the background of something. And then you might, like for me, I started, somebody shared on Instagram a casting call for this gig where you dressed as a princess and went to children's houses and went to their birthday parties and entertained. And that was run by a girl named Sophie Eccles. It's Once Upon a Time Parties. That was my start. And it was through that I met other performers. So it's in these smaller gigs that you meet other performers and then word of mouth. And then just kind of keeping your eyes open for open casting calls. And I was very fortunate that when the way I got into the Helix Panto, and it's my third year doing it now, and it's been such a, it's my favorite gig. It is so much fun and the people are brilliant. I first got into that because of a casting call on a website called Fish Pond, which is run by a casting director named Ali Coffey, and anyone can join Fish Pond. And I responded to a casting and I was asked to come in, and like here I am now. And it's through the panto I've gotten in contact with so many other people, and then I've gotten so much other work because of that, and because of the panto then I signed with an agent, and so much kind of just snowballs. So sometimes it's about not being afraid to do smaller gigs, talking to other people, and sometimes when you get one good gig, everything kind of snowballs. And yeah,
it's been
hard to explain.
It has been. I think you've summed it up perfectly, because even from watching like your Instagrams and stuff like that, I do remember you doing the children's parties, and I find it very entertaining, because like what a special job, in fairness, to go and make like kids' days like that. And then, you know, the panto, like let's jump into the panto for a second. In the Helix, mm-hmm. you're going to be playing the lead role of Hannah in The Snow Queen. I know that is running from the end of this month up until January, but you're in the thick of rehearsals right now. What is a day in the life of a rehearsal for something like that? All the preparation that goes into it.
It is so high energy from the get-go. It's so fun. All of us involved in the panto are a bit mad as well, which is perfect. So we'd start with you'd go through your script, and then we jump up on the floor pretty quickly and start blocking. Claire Tye, she is fantastic. She had the whole show blocked, everything blocked by Thursday this week, so within 4 days, 5 days. There's a basic framework for everything already. We started working on choreography from about Wednesday. There's like a group of dancers, and then a group of principal actors, and then we also have a group of teens that come in. They come in towards the end of the week, and a kids chorus as well, and we kind of put it all together with them. We do singing rehearsals with Dave Hayes, our musical director. He's absolutely fantastic. And Jen Dawson and Tariq Shimani, like, are the masterminds of the choreography. And they're so, so fantastically patient with me when I don't know my left from my right. It is such a high energy. Like, you would be so tired at the end of the day, but so happy. Because the main thing that you're doing all day is laughing. You're just laughing at how funny your colleagues are. You're laughing at how funny a little improvisational thing that one of your friends has done. It feels like a lovely collaborative process too, because if something is slightly funnier than maybe what's in the script, it's very much like, yeah, do that. That's hilarious. You're given like really nice creative freedom. So it is very fulfilling in that way. But yeah, it is a busy week, and I am already so tired, but I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't love it so much, you know.
What is it like going from being in the Bord Gáis in the Little Shop of Horrors like a couple of months ago, and then switching gears? How do you go from being one character to another in such a short period of time? There must be great adaptability and skill involved in that.
Panto is all high energy, silly, fun. A lot of the comedy is geared towards kids, but also a lot is geared towards the adults as well. Little Shop was just that bit more sincere in places, and it was really nice to be able to, you know, work in that direction. But it's also very much a comic piece, and there's a lot of fun to be had with that too. Like, also very high energy, But for me, I like in the panto, I'm playing one character. In Little Shop, I played several. I was a pregnant cleaner in the first act, in the first scene. And then I was a, what else? I was a small child for about three scenes with the lovely Zoe Talbot. we were put together as the two small girls. And then I was sort of a strange plant-loving alien person in a boiler suit at the end, which was fabulous and so sci-fi and cool. And then I was kind of like this woman with a bob. I was like this fashionista woman with a bob for one scene. And it was so cool to get to run around and play all those different characters the kind of the thrill of like get on stage, okay, go, we have to change, you only have like one song to change, help me with my wig, will you help me with this, like it was such a rush.
It's a different type of show, and it just goes to show that, you know, when you get into this line of work, you could be playing such a range of characters, and they're all so amazing. Do you have a dream role that you'd ideally like to play as a musical theatre fanatic? I know that there are so many musicals I love, but what about you? What is your dream gig?
I would love to do anything in The Commitments, or I would love. So I love The Commitments musical. I love Sing Street is another one that's fantastic, and there was a stage version of that in London recently. There's a musical called Cry Baby that I absolutely adore. There's this fantastic, insane woman in that show that I would love to play her. Generally, anything that's a bit nuts is what I want to do. I would love to do anything comedic. And a lot of roles that I would love to do, I'm too young for at the moment. So I get to potentially look forward to those in my future. Yeah, anything a little bit mad. Any musical that has a character that's a little bit mad.
I think the future is bright. The future is bright. As you said, you are still so young in all of this, in your mid-20s. So, but if there's someone listening to you this evening and they like you, have a dream of all of this, you are living yours, I imagine, at the moment. But if they're just before that stage, maybe grinding away, trying to get work, wondering, where do I go next? Should I keep going with this dream? What advice would you give them?
I would say that if this is for you, this career, it is tough at times. Sometimes you don't know what your next gig is going to be. And there are often periods where you receive so many no's from auditions, sometimes several in one day. And that can be hard, but you have to have your reason why. And your reason why has to be so strong. For me, like when I started training in American college, I was still very unsure of myself. And I knew that that was going to come to get me on days where I wasn't feeling my most confident. So I had a journal where I wrote down, why am I doing this? Why do I want to do this so bad? And basically what I wrote out all my reasons, my why for wanting to do this career. And it all basically boiled down to, I do not want to do anything else. So if you need to make sure that your reason for doing this is strong enough and solid enough to keep you going when things are difficult. And you also, it is as cheesy as it sounds, you have to believe in yourself, because the second you stop believing in yourself, it's hard. It just becomes so much harder. Like you have to be there for yourself. You really need to have a strong reason, and there's no room to doubt yourself. You just have to go for it.
Which you have done.
Yeah.
And you have done very, very well. And before I let you go, tell me how we can see you as Hannah in The Snow Queen in the next couple of months.
You can come see The Snow Queen in The Helix from the 21st of November to the 11th of January. We have matinees and evening shows. There's loads of opportunities. It's fun for the whole family. So,
well, I will certainly be there. And Rachel, thank you so much for hopping on iRadio's group chat and Trade Secrets to tell us all about your wonderful life. And I wish you every success in the future.
Thank you, Val.
This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.